Hi, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are taking a look at one that it came out in theaters quite a while ago, but it's now hitting VOD. And I know a lot of people were wondering if we would ever cover this movie. And here it is. We finally got it for you. It is Taika Waititi's Jojo Rabbit. The movie about a kid and his imaginary Hitler best friend. Okay, let me just say, right at the top of the show, and we'll get into this as we are getting into the conversation more, which, by the way, is with Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year. It's a great conversation. I was 100% on board for this movie. I saw no problem. I know it's a little controversial about whether or not we should be joking around about Nazis. I'm fine with joking around about Nazis, whether or not Hitler is a ripe subject for this kind of satire. I think it's perfectly okay. All right. And I know a lot of people had problems with it. And then a lot of people had this in their like top five movies of the year. Unfortunately, I fall somewhere in the middle in which I have no problems with it. I just didn't think it was that good. I don't think that it really, I don't know. I just don't think it landed that well. And we'll get into it more as we get into the conversation. But it was a bit of a disappointment for me. And I know a lot of people are probably already screaming at me right now for not loving this movie. But what can I do? It's just the way I felt about it. So hopefully you don't hate me, but if you do hate me, you don't have to review Piecing It Together. But if you do still enjoy the show, I'd love it if you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. Of course, follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all these movies that we talk about on the show. And with that being said, let's get into this conversation about Jojo Rabbit. All right, today with us, we got Jason Harris again from Awesome Movie Year. How's it going, Jason?
I'm doing well. Thank you to all the listeners who have been blowing Dave up on all the forms of social media, not requesting, demanding that I come back to Piecing It Together.
That's true. That's been happening like so much. You have no idea. You joke, but it's true.
Is it a movement or a revolution? A
little of each. today we are talking about Jojo Rabbit from Taika Waititi. Is that how you say his name?
Taika Waititi.
So Jason, were you a big fan of this guy?
I like Taika. Have you seen a lot of his movies before or no?
I just recently saw Hunt for the Wilder People and loved it.
That movie's amazing.
Yeah.
Boy is an incredible movie.
Never saw Boy.
It's really, really good. Those are the two that kind of,
yeah,
that got me on the Taika train. What's funny is his two most popular movies would be the Thor movie.
Sure.
Which I did not like.
And I like that.
And what We Do in Shadows, which I also did not like.
Which I still have not seen, actually.
Yeah. So that, what did we miss? Maybe one of his?
Yeah.
Eagle vs. Shark.
I saw that a million years ago. Don't really remember it too well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like him. I mean, you know, as we'll get into one of the pieces, he is very reminiscent of another filmmaker I like. So.
Absolutely. I think I know where that's going. Yeah. So one other thing before we get into some puzzle pieces. You are Jewish, right?
I am Jewish.
Yeah, I've always thought so. As a Jew, how did you feel going into this one? I mean, there was some like stupid controversy about this. I never really thought there was any real controversy. I thought it was one of those kind of just internet things. Is that how you kind of felt?
Yeah, I don't worry about that. I think you should be able to. That's like saying, like, I mean, you once you put limits on comedy, you've already ruined it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You have to let it play out, and if the comedy works, then great. And if not, then you can be like, oh, what a stupid idea, right?
And it's not like this is the first time Nazis have been joked about, but especially by Jews, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's another one of my puzzle pieces in there, I'm sure.
Me too. We're going to have some crossover on this
one. I think you should be able to joke about everything. Making Hitler a sentimental imaginary best friend is tough, but the way that Jojo went on his journey, I think, was pretty effective.
Yeah.
to learn that Hitler sucks.
Yeah, which is an important lesson.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we get into some puzzle pieces? What do you got for your first one?
My first puzzle piece is Leni Riefenstahl's Nazi propaganda film. No, that's not true. But that I was looking all the way back to there. Going back to the 30s to some good old Nazi propaganda. I'm not going to do it. My first puzzle piece is every Wes Anderson movie ever made. But we can just say Moonrise Kingdom because that's the one about two kids on an adventure in the wilderness and whatnot. But Taika definitely loves his framing like Wes Anderson.
Sure.
His pacing, his giant slow-mo set pieces to some cool music like Wes Anderson.
His quirkiness.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Moonrise Kingdom, which is one of my favorite movies. And this is a good movie, but this is not one of my favorite movies.
Sure. And I think we might have talked about this before. I did not really love Moonrise Kingdom. I think part of it comes from a kind of boring childhood where I just sat around and played video games mostly and did not have these kinds of adventures and stuff like that. And so I guess I don't relate to it, maybe. That's always kind of what
Couldn't
I thought.
Couldn't even get into the whimsy of it, though?
I don't do whimsy, I guess.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do love Wes Anderson, and I totally see the influence. I mean, Taika definitely seems to love, you know, some Wes Anderson style stuff going on. Also, another one to add to that list is the foreign covers of classic pop songs.
There you go, yeah. Yeah. And David Bowie in this case.
Yes, and the Beatles.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my... I again, you had just said that you liked this movie, didn't love it. I also liked it, didn't love it. Maybe my favorite part was opening it with the Beatles cover to Hitler montages.
That was pretty hilarious. Yeah. I was like, what the?
Started off on the right foot
is
for
going
me.
On here. Yeah. It was definitely like insane right off the bat.
Yeah.
And you know, Moonrise, when we talk about that, you know, Jojo Rabbit goes on this little, excursion with the Nazi youth into the woods for an adventurous weekend, and that's what that kind of reminded me of, these scout troops off on their trips, their adventures in the wilderness and whatnot.
Yeah, I was trying to think of some good examples. I don't know, maybe through other puzzle pieces there might be one, but especially Sam Rockwell's character is such like a just like a goofy scout leader guy, and I mean definitely Moonrise Kingdom fits the bill.
Right. Yeah. Norton in that is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scout leader. So we have to think of wacky scout leaders.
They're out there. There's so many in the history of movies, and I was just like drawing a blank outside of Moonrise Kingdom. I kept going back to that while trying to think of it.
Yeah, I volunteers. Tom Hanks and John Candy. Maybe is that right? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Well, I will go for my first puzzle piece with the other one that we were kind of hinting at the beginning there. I'm assuming for you is The Producers.
You could have done that. You could have done Blazing Saddles. You could have done History of the World. Any Mel Brooks movie, I think.
Absolutely.
And The Producers obviously makes sense because of Springtime for Hitler and the entire musical based around Nazis and everything.
Yeah.
But I think nobody has done a better job of deflating the Nazis with satire than Mel Brooks.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, you put it perfectly just there. You know, deflating the Nazis. I mean, really, I think that made such a joke out of what, you know, what the Nazis are. And I think that it would be nice if this movie did it more too. I mean, his whole, you know, silly Hitler thing is, you know, it's fun in moments. And then the other Nazis involved are also kind of, you know, goofy and everything, but nothing really bites as hard as, you know, what Mel Brooks did so long ago.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're as effective as a parody as the Mel Brooks stuff. I'd have to go back and watch the original Producers again, but those musical numbers were just like amazing.
That'll actually make a good movie for Awesome Movie Year, I think, whenever we get to that year. What year was that? 1970s?
Maybe 69 or something.
Might have been.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, if only you had the internet to look things
Yeah,
up.
I know. I don't do that for your show. I don't do it for my show.
There you go.
What do you got for your next
Well,
piece?
I did have Blazing Saddles, so I'm going to move on to a little lost gem from the 90s, I believe. A little film called Drop Dead Fred. Remember that movie?
We got three overlaps.
Really? Wow, amazing. And the reason I chose that is because it was started as a child with a very cartoonish imaginary best friend, and Taika's take on Adolf Hitler was cartoonish as well. By the way, a quick aside, Dave, you know, I got a good amount of Hitler jokes in my repertoire for my act. They never really go well on stage.
Are people forgetting who Hitler was?
You know, once I came off stage and I did the jokes and they bombed it, and another comedian goes, "Oh, you should have told them you were Jewish first." Because only Jews can be mad at Hitler. That's right. The rest, I mean, you know, the rest of the people like, "Oh, yeah, man, that's too far. You took it to that guy who tried to destroy the entire world. Shame on you."
That makes me think that whole thing about history class being important, because if we forget history, we're doomed to repeat it. Like, that's really true, because maybe people are forgetting about Hitler.
It would be like if we elected a president who is a white supremacist. We would never do that.
That would never happen. No, only in the movies.
Cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a cadre, a history of movies that have good, fun, imaginary best friends. You can name another instead of Drop Dead Fred.
Oh boy. Well, what isn't it? Well, you know, I was almost gonna say Beetlejuice, but he's not really an imaginary best friend. He's just kind of the same kind of wacky, you know. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there are plenty. Drop Dead Fred was the one that I went to immediately when thinking about what are some good, imaginary best friends, and especially with this specific tone that he plays them as.
Yeah. What I'm thinking of right now is Inside Out, the great, animated movie where, they have, Mr. Bing Bong, which was the girl's best friend as a little kid, and like,
that's right, I forgot about that.
She
actually
has to let him go, and he wants her to let him go, and you know, as opposed to Hitler, who was trying to keep hold of little Jojo here.
Yeah.
even fun Hitler's bad Hitler.
That's true. That is true. Well, I'll go with another puzzle piece. This was the first one that I thought of back when I first saw the trailer. And it, for the most part, I still think it, although I think a little bit less than what I kind of expected the movie to end up being. And that's South Park, actually. Just the whole series. You could, if you want to stick to a movie, you can go to the bigger, longer, uncut movie. But, you know, basically just the political satire, just going over the top with a potentially offensive, concept, and then just, you know, hiding a really sweet story of kids in the middle of that kind of concept.
Yeah, I think, again, South Park's a way more effective satire, and
right,
and even Team America, you could say.
Sure.
You know, because they really, like, don't hold back any punches. I'm not saying that this movie does. I'm just saying that this movie doesn't have the range, the punching range of those movies. And so I think those are more effective.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do like, though, to me, this movie, and I don't think this is a bad thing necessarily, but I went in expecting it to be really funny. And it's funny in parts, but I actually liked it more on the sweet side, like when you're getting the relationship between Jojo and the Jewish girl hidden upstairs, and the stuff between him and his friends and stuff like that. I really enjoyed that more in this movie. And I just, with South Park, there's always that undercurrent of, you know, just a sweet friendship thing going on.
Yeah. I think the most effective comedy was probably Jojo's, portly best friend there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, he's great.
Who's like a little 11-year-old who gets recruited into the war as a soldier.
Yeah.
And he just talks about how bad life is as a soldier and how Hitler turns out he was a real bad guy who didn't tell us a lot of these things that he believed in. And he was quite funny, that kid.
He's a very Jewish character.
Yeah. and as we know from Boy and Hunt for the Wilder People, Tyke is good with those fat boys.
Yes, he is.
He makes those fat boys do well in movies.
Yeah, I have a feeling we'll see more of those in the future for him. Maybe even the next Thor movie.
More Chubsy Ubsies?
Yeah, I think so.
Dave used to be a Chubsy Ubby, but now he's the charter member of his gym. I'm still a fatso, though, audience. So.
Oh, God. Well, what do you got for your next piece?
I have a movie that when you were talking about was there a controversy because they were making light of the Nazis, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought back to an excellent movie, Life is Beautiful, that Roberto Benigni won the Oscar for best actor, you know? Sure. And I remember my grandparents, who like they were movie lovers. They were very progressive. My grandfather was a comedian for 60 years, very funny, good humor people. I asked them, like, Life is Beautiful is one of the great touching movies I've ever seen in my life. I said, did you guys like the movie? And they said, we walked out. I said, why? And they said, well, we don't think the Holocaust is something to joke about, you know. Ooh. Or it wasn't funny to them. But I can understand that, because they grew up as, while it was going on, as Jews here in Brooklyn, and dealt with a lot of anti-Semitism.
Sure. So,
but Life is Beautiful, I think, is a more effective comedy about World War II and Nazism than this movie is.
Sure. Well, I guess if anybody is going to be offended, it's the generation who actually went through it, like physically went through it. You know?
Yeah, I just found it was, I found it funny that they had walked out on this movie, which I think was such a redeeming, heartfelt story about the human spirit, you know, and that evil couldn't overcome the human spirit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, yeah, good puzzle piece for sure. I have, I guess, one more. We had a lot of overlap on this one. So my last one, another movie, you know, with a quote-unquote creature that's hiding in the house, set amongst backdrop of war. It's Pan's Labyrinth, with, of course, the creatures under the house being the Jewish girl living upstairs in the walls of the house, which, of course, is quite different, but it did.
You anti-Semitic son of a bitch.
I'm allowed to make that connection.
You self-hating Jew. You're saying Jewish girls are creatures living under the stairs.
Guillermo del Toro monsters.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah.
How dare you? I don't think that's what you meant, but I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
You know, when someone lives in your wall, how do you interact with them?
Yes.
And why are they there?
Yeah.
You know, we find out through the art of Guillermo del Toro and through Taika Waititi. However, no American filmmaker has seemed to capture that.
That's an interesting observation there.
Well, I'm probably wrong.
That's true.
Yeah. So.
Well, do you have any
other? I do. I have one more. And okay. So in Jojo Rabbit, right, there is some battle sequences, and you see Jojo walking through the battlefield. In this like one very epic long shot, and nobody does epic long shots better, especially in wartime settings, than Joe Wright and the film Atonement.
Mm.
With another World War II movie, but that had one of the most striking, incredible long shots I've ever seen.
Sure.
of someone walking through the aftermath of a battlefield.
Yeah, didn't love that movie, but I know what you're talking about with that shot. It was awesome. Absolutely. It seems like that 1917 is going to have some great shots.
Yeah, that's, you mean the movie or the year?
The movie.
Oh, about the year.
Yeah.
Cool. Who knows? Who knows?
But yeah, no, absolutely good puzzle piece. There were some great shots like that. I think it's funny that this movie, it's sold as, you know, Hitler's imaginary friend, but all the best parts are happening outside of that, really.
Yeah, you know? I agree. That, yeah, shockingly, Hitler was the worst part of this film.
He really was. He wasn't as funny as I expected. He just kind of dragged it down a little
bit.
You
let us down again, Hitler.
Hitler is always doing that.
You know,
shit.
I used to do this joke about how... Hitler ruined that mustache for the Jews, because in like the 20s, if you had that cool little mustache, people would be like, hey, Charlie Chaplin, right? And then by like 1939, if you had it, they'd be like, what the fuck, dude? That's a Hitler son. No, I'm Chaplin. That's Hitler, damn it. But then Larry David did it on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So not bad when you see a joke that you concepted, also thought of by the likes of Jew Larry David.
There you go.
The king of the Jews.
He kind of is.
Yeah.
Well, I will do the finished puzzle, then we can get into any last thoughts we had about this movie. Finished puzzle includes Moonrise Kingdom, and of course, every Wes Anderson movie, The Producers, and every Mel Brooks movie, Drop Dead Fred, South Park, Life is Beautiful, Pan's Labyrinth, and Atonement. Right off the bat, as far as like closing thoughts for this one, you know, in jumping through these pieces, we didn't really, aside from Sam Rockwell briefly, we didn't really talk about any performances, but I mean, I thought Thomasin McKenzie was great, which she was in that, what's it called? Leave No Trace. That's what it's called. Yeah. She was fantastic.
Dude,
that
movie's amazing.
Yeah.
Leave No Trace. Yeah. She's very good in that.
Yeah. So it was good to see her again. And I thought she did a great job with this. Really sweet, funny role. Scarlett Johansson was great as the mom.
We all love Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, I mean, she was awesome. Rebel Wilson had a few good lines.
Do you think people are going to complain that Scarlett Johansson played a German? Because they like to complain when she wants to play anything else. It's not Scarlett Johansson, right?
Yeah, so. I don't know. I don't know if German is on or off limits. I'm not quite sure.
You can only act as who you are from now on. That's where we are, everyone.
Yeah, that is where we're at. The kid playing JoJo was good. I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts about it?
I mean, you know, it is a provocative premise, right? It's based on a book, isn't it, or a story?
I think it was a short story.
Yeah, but what's interesting is the journey. First of all, how do you make a little Nazi boy a protagonist, and then how do you have him learn enough about how bad his heroes are to realize that he should not be believing in who he believes in.
Mm-hmm.
You forgot Rebel Wilson, who's always funny and everything. But it's fine. It's just like, I don't know if it delivered. Maybe it was too sentimental. Mm-hmm. Maybe it needed to be a little more removed, like Wes Anderson movies are.
Sure.
But yeah, it's fine. It's good. It's just not, when you hear the subject matter, you're like, what the heck? And then you see that opening sequence you talked about, and you're like, yo. And then it's a fine movie.
I think just back to the puzzle pieces, I don't have one, but there's got to be a good movie about learning the thing that you loved was shit, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think of American History X when I think of that, but you mean like a comedy?
Well, American History X is not a bad example of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
throw that on the list.
All right, there you go. So, yeah, that's the first one I think of. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. Good movie.
Yeah,
not the best.
Yeah, not the best, but good.
Good.
I liked it.
We like it better than we like Hitler.
We definitely like this better than Hitler. Yeah. That's for sure.
Like not even one or two steps, like a lot of steps better.
A lot better than Hitler. Yeah. I can agree on that.
He's at the bottom of my list.
he is not awesome. He would not make it on an awesome movie.
Well, I mean, what year would we be? We have to cover those films of Leni Riefenstahl or something like that. It seems.
Did you like read that name before this, or is that like permanently? That's knowledge you have.
I mean, I knew that she was a propaganda Nazi filmmaker.
Okay, I don't know.
And
that
I just
name.
Thought it would be a funny reference, considering that, you know, that's kind of the part of the controversy is making light of the Nazis here, but. Yeah, I don't like her either. Screw you, Riefenstahl.
Yeah. Well, Jason, is there another movie you saw recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Another movie I saw recently that I would like to recommend to our listeners? Yeah, I would, Dave.
Okay.
I went back and watched the first Noah Baumbach movie not too long ago, Kicking and Screaming, which is on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's such a pleasure. What a great film that is. And if we're going to plug an awesome movie here, we just covered Margot at the Wedding.
Yes.
Noah Baumbach's excellent film from 2007. So it's been fun to do some rewatch of Noah Baumbach films. Kicking and Screaming is a very quintessential 90s angst-filled, what am I going to do in my life now that college is over movie. But it's probably as good a movie that's been made on that subject.
I need to watch it. I've never seen it. I do like Baumbach's films. I really should watch it now that it's on.
It's awesome.
It's on Hulu now?
It's on Hulu, yes.
Nice. And speaking of awesome movie, there's a Marriage Story screening happening tonight, and your co-host did not get us into the screening.
He's not going to it either.
Oh,
I
yeah, that's right. So. He's not. He did tell me that.
Yeah. Thanks for nothing, Josh Bell. We're calling you out.
Well, why don't you tell people where they can find you and Awesome Movie
Year? Yeah, so awesomemovieyear.com and then Awesome Movie Year on Facebook and on Instagram and on Twitter. We're on Awesome Movie Pod. Jason Harris Comedy or Jay Harris Comedy on all of those things. Just type in one, and if it's not that, it'll be the other one. And yeah, give Awesome Movie Year a listen. We're pretty proud of it. Dave produces it, and we're just trying to grow it. We think it's a cool concept where we break down a different year each season as to why it was an awesome movie year.
And every year is an awesome movie year.
As Josh likes to say.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, hey, thanks as always for being here, man.
Thank you to the clamoring fans who brought me back.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you an exciting announcement.
You love movies and TV. We know you do because you're spending your precious time listening to this awesome podcast.
And if you love this podcast, we've got another we think you might like.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Phaedra.
And we are Stinger, the entertainment podcast.
We're two fangirls who love TV and movies, just like you, and every 2 weeks we discuss what we're watching, from Netflix to Hulu to Amazon to network TV, movies we've seen, and what's coming up next in entertainment.
We hear so many people ask, what should I binge watch next? Or is that movie really worth seeing in the theater? If you have those questions, we're here for you.
And you can decide which one of us is right.
So check us out on your favorite podcast app, or you can listen on our website, stingerpodcast.com. Just search for Stinger Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Or connect with us on social media. We're Stinger Podcast everywhere.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Jojo Rabbit. Again, I know a lot of you out there loved this movie. Sorry that we didn't love it along with you, but, you know, liking or not liking a movie isn't what this podcast is about, of course. This podcast is about looking at the movies that inspired a movie. Or, on a rougher definition of piecing it together, movies that it reminded us of. Movies that it reminded us of. So, yeah, hopefully you enjoyed that conversation with Jason Harris. I hope you go check out Awesome Movie Year, which is in its third season right now on the films of 1989. Go check it out. Also, while you're at it, check out our other podcast, Bird Road, and the new podcast I'm producing, All Rice, No Beans, which is all about restaurants here in Las Vegas, and a really fun, different show for me. I'm not on it, but I produce it, and if you like the work I do, hopefully you'll enjoy All Rice, No Beans. So let's wrap this thing up. Make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever it is you listen to podcasts. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. Follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. If you really would love to support us, which we would love, you can go sign up for our Patreon, where we have some advanced bonus episodes that will eventually hit the main Piecing It Together feed, but aren't quite up yet. So make sure to go do that if you want to show a little love and support to the show. But of course, you could also just share us. That doesn't cost a penny, and we love it when you do that. So any way you want to support the show, we are very happy with you being out there and doing that. So, I think that, yeah, let's play a piece of music, right? So, I guess this is that rare opportunity where I should be playing a song from my Jewish comedy rap group, Fakakta, which is unfortunately now defunct. We basically broke up a few years ago, but yeah, I might as well play a track off it, because who cares? What would be a good one to play for you guys that would go really well with the movie Jojo Rabbit and a lot of good Jewish humor? All right, so, and remember, with this Fakakta stuff, it's very filthy a lot of the times. And so hopefully it doesn't offend anyone out there. Maybe just stop the episode now if you don't want to be offended by dirty language and sex talk and stuff like that. But this is a track called Bub Step from our second album, You Took Us For Granted. And yeah, so it's about old ladies in the nursing home, which of course, I don't know why most Jewish jokes lean towards old people, but it's so ripe for comedy. So enjoy Bub Step, and we'll be back with another episode of Piecing It Together coming up real soon.
Bub Step, come on Bubby, you can do it. Get up off your ass, come on and shake that booty. It's time to get down and tear off the floor. Don't forget to take an Ativan and lip the tour. You got the rest of your life to play words with friends. So tonight we're gonna party until the world ends. DJ Avi D.O.G. on the ones and twos. So I'ma mix a load of vodka into the fruit juice.
You take a bus to the mall, you don't wanna fall.
Bub Step,
get the fuck up. Osteoporosis, a crappy diagnosis.
To my Jew mom. So when I go to the club, I always have to use a Groupon. This party right here is off the hook. Everybody in the club tonight is my spooker. If you're over 70 and this is your song, everybody in the house, come on and sing along. This is Bub Step, it's the best song. Yeah, when we're done, we'll go home and we can Netflix and kvetch.
Rolling in your scooter, don't understand computers.
Bub Step, get the fuck up.
Vodka in your prune juice, you know it's time to let loose.
Bub Step, get the
hope you're not vegetarian, cause the specialty is meatloaf. Go to the salon and get your style on. All my sexy ladies, my Sylvias and Sadies, you know you're Miss Independent Living. Honey, that velour tracksuit is so forgiving.
Bumpster, get the fuck up.
Help, I've fallen.
Get the fuck up.
I can't hear.
And all points west.